Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
So in 2016, a group of about 30 people came together with one goal: to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus in our region. And in 2017, Lighthouse Community was born. Pretty neat to think about that. My son and I were talking about that driving the other day, that that this church has been in existence for about 7 years. It's crazy to think about that. Then in 2020, another group of about 40 people crammed into a living room with one goal: to share the good news of Jesus Christ in the region. And in 2021, Bluffton Community was born. And it's so crazy to think about that, that from teams, launch teams of about 30 to 40 people today, between just these two locations, over 600 people call Lighthouse Community and Bluffton Community home. That is absolutely, yeah, that's crazy. It's what the Lord is doing. It's so, so cool. And I got to tell you, even though things have changed throughout the years, service times, so some of you guys remember OG, we were 1027 back in the day, one service. And, you know, now we have two services. We've got our online community. Bluffton is up and running, all kinds of great stuff. Things have changed along the way, but one thing has remained the same from the beginning, is to share the good news of Jesus. And the way we talk about that is we are people who say yes to Jesus, and we help people say yes to Jesus. That is who we are. That is what we do. And so what I wanted to do this morning is take a few moments to explain, what do we mean when we say we're people who say yes to Jesus, and what does that look like? And I want to talk about a few common pitfalls to avoid so that you can see Jesus continue to do remarkable things in your own life. As Pastor Matt mentioned, if you open up to Acts chapter 2, that's where we're going to be at today. Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament. We're going to be starting in chapter 2 this morning. While you're going there, I do want to welcome you. My name is Fritz, if we haven't met yet. Thank you so much for joining us on this Palm Sunday and being with us. I want to welcome especially all of our guests. I want to welcome those who are joining at Lighthouse Online, wherever you may be joining from. And then also, we also want to give a special welcome, because this morning, Bluffton Community is joining us from their location. So, hey, Lighthouse, can we do a favor and let Bluffton know we love them and we're glad that they're with us this morning? Yes! I love it. I love it. Good. Hey, before we go any further, I do want to take a moment and pray. So let's bow our heads and pray together. God, today, every day is about you. And this is a moment where people who want to know who you are more, who want to discover who is this Jesus, who is this God, who is this Holy Spirit, are intentionally setting aside time in our day to see what the scriptures have to say, to see how you have revealed yourself. And we pray that the scriptures would reveal you clearly to us in this time of teaching. And it wouldn't simply cause us to expand our library of knowledge, and now we know more things. My prayer for my own life and for my family here today is that we would know you, that we would dive into the depths of this God who has done absolutely everything so that we could be with him. And so, Holy Spirit, may you open our eyes to truth and to the reality of who you are. We ask these things through the great name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Okay, hey, Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Let me give you a little bit of context for this passage really quickly, because what's happening, this is after Jesus' crucifixion. This is after his resurrection. This is after his ascension to heaven. This is after the Holy Spirit has fallen and started to indwell in the disciples. And what happens is Peter gets up in front of thousands, and he begins to explain what is going on and what has happened in Jerusalem over these last few weeks. And so he preaches this amazing sermon. And in chapter 2, verse 36, he shares these very, very pivotal words. And in fact, let's do this. Let's read this passage, but let's read it out loud together at all of our locations, beginning with, "Therefore, let all Israel." Are you ready? Go. "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both..." Yeah, both Lord and Messiah. That is so critical. Jesus is Lord and Messiah. I want to unpack that this morning a little bit because it has everything to do with saying yes to Jesus. Here's the first thing that I think comes forward really quickly is that Peter says Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. Now, that's not a word that we use all of the time in our day-to-day conversations. So when we're talking about Lord, the way that they would have understood it and the way we can understand it is a Lord is a person who has authority. Lord is a person who has control. Lord is a person who has power over others. And when people were listening to Peter and he says, Jesus is Lord, they would have understood this refers to a master who has ownership. This is a master who has ownership. And he's saying that about Jesus, that Jesus is in charge. Jesus has all authority. Jesus has all power. Jesus is the master. What's interesting about this, when he says Jesus is Lord, well, here's a quick question. If you're here in the house, I'll ask you, you might know the answer. Does anybody know, and if you know, just shout it out, take a risk. Does anybody know what God's name is? I think I heard over here, yeah. Say it again, a little louder. Yahweh, great, yeah. Did you know that's actually God's name? Yahweh, Y-H-W-H, all right? So like, Yahweh. That's his name. And that's how he reveals himself, right? In Exodus chapter 3, Moses says, well, who am I supposed to tell that is sending me? And God says, you tell them Yahweh sent you. I am. I will be who I will be sent you. That's his name. Now, along the way, at some point, the Jews began to say, God's name is so holy. God's name is so special. God's name is so unique. We don't even want to say it because we don't want to mistakenly say his name in vain. So they stopped referring to God as Yahweh, and they began to refer to him as Lord. And so, in fact, when you read the Old Testament and you see where it refers to God as Lord, you'll see all caps, L-O-R-D. That's actually, originally, it was Yahweh. And so what they did is they put in the word Lord so that they would keep themselves from misusing or unnecessarily using the name of God. And so they began to refer to God as Lord. And that's how all the Jews understood him. And so Peter gets up in front of thousands of Jews on Pentecost, and he says, Jesus is Lord. And everybody there would have understood what Peter was saying. He's saying, Jesus is God. This is Yahweh. And maybe some of you are going, okay, well, I get that Peter is saying that, but maybe he's just a really excited follower of Jesus. Where did Peter get that from? Well, he got that from Jesus. Because in Matthew 28, verse 18, just before Jesus ascends to heaven, one of the last things he says to his disciples on the mountain is this. They're all gathered together. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, the Amplified Version says it this way. All authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Who says that, right? Like, other than people who are demented, right? You say that because it's true. Jesus said, Jesus saying, I'm God. You've seen it through my death, through my resurrection, through my miracles, through who I am, right? I am Lord. And so you have to understand that Jesus is Lord. He's the creator. He's the supreme ruler over absolutely everything. And so you have to understand that Peter is making the case very, very clearly, very loudly, that Jesus is Lord. Right? He has all power, all control, all authority. But then he says, not only is Jesus Lord, he says Jesus is Lord and Messiah. Right? Now, if you were here back in the fall, we went through a series called The Anointed One, if you remember that. And we talked about what is a Messiah and what does that look like. And so this term Messiah literally means that one whom God chooses to accomplish his will. And so with regards to Jesus, this was the one God chose to solve our problem of sin. And so Peter says Jesus is Lord and Messiah. That word Messiah can also be translated Christ, by the way. And so when he says that, what he's saying is Jesus is the one who came, who God chose to solve our problem with sin. And another way we would say that is he's our Savior, right? He saves us. He rescues us, right? The term Messiah in Christ doesn't carry a lot of weight with us, but maybe Savior makes a little bit more sense. He's one who saves. In fact, did you know the name Jesus actually means God saves, right? In the Hebrew, it would be translated Yeshua, right? God saves. And so it's in his name that he is the one who saves. And so a Savior rescues people who need to be saved. This is all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. If you're not familiar, Genesis 1 and 2 is about the creation of the world. Genesis chapter 3 gets to the place where Adam and Eve are in the garden, they're enjoying what God has created, and then in one moment, they choose disobedience to God's will. Right? Asked one thing, and that's the one thing they went after, and they chose to try to be like God without God. That's what happened there. They said, I think I can get to being like God another way than spending time with God. And so sin is basically, I'm going to do what I want to do. And in Genesis chapter 3, sin comes into the world, death comes into the world, and right after that happens, God makes a promise. There's going to be one who comes from woman who you will crush the serpent's head and he will strike your heel. That's the promise that God was going to send a Savior, a Messiah, a Christ to rescue us from our sin. But a Savior saves people who need to be rescued. And this is exactly what Jesus said about himself in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Jesus is talking to a group of people and all of a sudden he says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Son of Man, he's referring to himself, right? I have come to seek, to look for, and to save. And here's the reality. Every single one of us, each one of us here in the house, each one of us at Bluffton Community, every single one of us needs to be saved. Why? Because we're lost. We're lost. Jesus came looking for you. Jesus came to save you. We're lost because of our sin. We're lost in the sense that your relationship with God has been destroyed because of your sin. You're lost in the sense that you have missed the way to your created purpose. Did you know you were created with purpose? God made you, God designed you with intentionality for a purpose, and we're lost because we've missed that way. You're lost in the sense that you're distracted by the lies of sin. How many of us at some point in our life have chased after some form of wealth or fame or power or comfort, right? That if I can just get that, my life will be better. Those are all the lies of sin, that if you can get that, then your life will be okay. We're lost in the sense that without Jesus, you're actually wasting your life. Without Jesus, I was wasting my life on absolutely nothing. And so we are lost, and we need a Savior. And Peter makes it very clear, Jesus is Savior. Now, it's important to understand, Peter says Jesus is Lord and Savior. And he's speaking, at this moment, he's speaking primarily to Jews, right? And he's saying, listen, Jesus, this Jesus, whom you killed, by the way, right? Nothing like putting that on top of people. By the way, we own that too. Why was Jesus on the cross? Because of me. Because of you. And so this sermon hits home really easily, right, with what Peter's saying. He says, listen, you crucified him, but he's Lord and Savior. And so what he's exposing is that Jesus is the same Lord, Jesus is the same Savior who saved the nation of Israel from Babylon and led them back to Jerusalem to rebuild. He's saying Jesus is the same Lord and Savior who saved the nation of Israel out of Egypt and led them through the wilderness into the promised land. This is what Peter is saying. He goes, this Jesus is the same Lord and Savior. And now what he has done is he has come to save us from slavery to sin and to lead us into new life by faith. He's the Lord and Savior. This is the same God. And I want you to think about this, that the Lord Jesus, the King of heaven and earth, the creator of everything, the one whom all of creation bows down to. I think about this. If we don't cry out, the rocks will. The trees clap their hands in joy over the creator. Angelic beasts in heaven sing over and over, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All of creation longs to bring joy and praise to the Lord Jesus, stepped out of heaven, lowered himself by taking on flesh and being found in the identity of a human, and spent his entire earthly life living in utter reliance on God for every moment. Jesus lived a perfect life that you and I were supposed to live. And then, what was his reward for living an absolutely perfect life? Well, he was accused. He was lied about. He was tortured. He was humiliated. He was nailed to a cross. And he was killed as a perfect sacrifice for my sin, for your sin. Right? And then he was raised from the dead in this amazing, miraculous moment. Why? Why did he do all of that? Because the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's why. He's simply doing what Isaiah prophesied that God would do. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, Isaiah prophesied this. It says this, the Lord himself is my strength and my defense, right? So we're going, the Lord, this is the creator. This is the leader. This is the one with all authority and all power who rules over everything. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. Look what he says next. He has become my salvation. He's the Lord and he's Savior. This is what Isaiah 12 was talking about. And Peter says this is who Jesus is. He's both Lord and Savior. So to me, the question very quickly becomes, well, then what do we do with that? If Jesus is Lord and if Jesus is Savior, what does that mean for you and what does that mean for me? And I think it means this very simply. Ask Jesus to lead you and ask Jesus to save you. Because that's who he is. That's what he does. If Jesus is Lord and Savior, and he is, what do? Ask Jesus to lead you and ask Jesus to save you. Because you might not realize this. Maybe you don't catch this yet. Maybe you're there. Maybe you're already there. Many of you maybe actually are. You actually need someone to lead you and to save you. Did you know that? I need someone to lead me and to save me. We all do. Here's why. Actually, I'm not going to explain it to you. I want to show you why you and I need someone to lead us and to save us. I want you to take a quick look at this video. So you have this. Here's what's going on. There's a sheep stuck down in this ditch. And so, look, this boy is coming. He's trying to get him. He's pulling him out. He's like, let's get this guy out of here. He pulls him out. He saves him. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. And right back in, right? Right back in. And so the sheep had someone save him. But as soon as he was saved, he needed a leader because he went right back to where he was. You and I need someone to save us, and we need someone to lead us, and that's what Jesus does. But we need him to be both. We need him to be Lord and Savior. And for too many, he tends to be one more than the other, for far too many of us. That was my story. Listen, when I first came to faith, I didn't know anything about Jesus until someone invited me to church as a young man. And I went, I heard about it, I'm like, this is great. And I put my faith in Jesus, but I didn't realize that when I first put my faith in Jesus, I saw him primarily as my Lord. But I didn't really understand him as my Savior. I saw him as my Lord, but I didn't really understand him as my Savior. And so what happened is after I came to faith in Jesus, a lot of things began to change in my life, right? Like places I went, I didn't go anymore. The things I did that a whole lot less, right? I started spending more time in the Word. I started spending more time in church, started spending more time praying, right? There was changes in my life that began to take place and to happen. And I was pursuing different habits. I was choosing different words. I was following Jesus into holiness, and I was living, quote unquote, a better life after faith in Jesus Christ. But there was something that was always hanging over me. I was constantly haunted by my past, and I could not get away from it. It always just lingered there. It just hung there like a dark cloud over top of me. And what it did is it actually pushed me further into religion. It pushed me further into performing. And I was weighed down by guilt because I was trying so hard to follow my Lord. But nobody had helped me understand that he's also Savior. And so I missed that part. And what happened is, I'll never forget, it was one day I was reading the Bible, and I was in the office by myself, and I read the Bible, and with clarity, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to help me see that Jesus is my Savior, and I had done nothing to earn it. And that thought, as soon as it penetrated into my mind and into my heart, it began to change my life, and I began to see him with such clarity that he is Lord and Savior. He's both. And so there's some here this morning, there's some at Bluffton this morning, you understand Jesus as your Lord, and you're trying so hard to follow him, and you're trying to be a better person, and you're trying to keep it together, and you're trying to live a Christian life, but you have guilt, and you have weight, and you're just doing all the religion that you know to do, but yet you cannot get away from your past. The chances are you know him as Lord, but you have not come to the place where you see him as your Savior. But then there's a whole other group of people. Don't think you're getting off. There's a whole other group of people. You see Jesus as Savior. And you enjoy the fact, right? You enjoy the fact that Jesus has saved you from hell. And yet you cannot understand why you are stuck in your sin. You cannot understand why you keep living the same life day in and day out, and nothing is changing in you. You're stuck in your sin. And what that does is that leads to frustration. And that leads to disappointment. And you begin to wonder, is this whole Jesus thing even real? Or maybe he doesn't do anything for my life now, and I just have to wait until I get to heaven. And by the way, you don't get out from underneath the weight of guilt either. That lingers there as well. See, you need Jesus as your Lord too. Because Jesus is Lord and Savior. He's not one or the other. He's actually both and. And you cannot separate the two. Because when you put your faith in Jesus, you need all of him. Here's a way to understand it. You and I need Jesus to save us from our sin and to lead us into new life. That's what it is for Jesus to be Lord and Savior. We need Jesus to save us out of and from our sin and to lead us into new life. This is who Jesus is. We need
all of him. He leads and he saves. And so we ask Jesus to lead us and we ask Jesus to save us. How do you do that? I'm going to share it with you. And it's not an easy thing like, oh, just get up at 5 a.m. and then do your devotions and everything will be better. That is not what this is. And when I say this, some of you guys go, oh, I was looking for something a little bit more straightforward, like read your Bible or something along those lines. How do you get to the place where you ask Jesus to lead you and to save you? You actually have to come to the realization that Jesus will lead you and save you better than you can lead you or save you. You have to get to that place, that actually Jesus' leadership and salvation is greater than your own leadership or any way that you think you could save yourself. And until you cross that line, you will constantly be fighting and battling and chasing after religion or dealing with frustration and disappointment. It's got to come. Here's what I'm talking about. If you want to put it in a word, humility. This is what we're talking about. Not puffing yourself up and I'm so great and I'm so wonderful and didn't you get a good deal on me, God? No. It's humility. I need someone to lead me and I need someone to save me. And Jesus will always do that better than you can or anybody else in your life. Because if not, we're the sheep who gets pulled out of the ditch and jumps right back into the ditch. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about saying yes to Jesus. We're talking about all of this. And what's amazing is when you say yes to Jesus over your life, there's these really amazing things that begin to happen. Those people who truly say yes to Jesus, they start experiencing things like genuine faith that begins to transform them. They begin to hear God speak to them through scripture and through prayer. And when they're in their small groups or they're meeting with other disciples, they're actually hearing God say things to them. People who genuinely say yes to Jesus, they actually get this ability to discern religious guilt from the true grace of God. And they start just stiff-arming religion. They start stiff-arming guilt. And they walk in the joy of God's grace. People who genuinely say yes to Jesus, they sense the Holy Spirit leading them into real steps of spiritual growth, right? They're like loving people they don't think they could ever love before. They're finding freedom from sin they didn't think they ever could. They're walking with him in new ways. People who genuinely say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins to open up doors for them to serve, and they start using these gifts they never even knew that they had. Somehow the Spirit is enabling them to share the truth of Scripture with clarity like never before. They're able to show mercy and love in really challenging situations. Some are given the gift of generosity or the ability to serve in any circumstance, and they just step into that, and it's amazing. People who genuinely say yes to Jesus, they begin to capture God's heart for the lost, and they join him in his rescue mission. They say, man, if the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost, I want to partner with him in that too. Whatever role he wants me to play. This is what we're talking about when we talk about a saying yes to Jesus lifestyle, that he is Lord and Savior over your life, over your time, over your resources, over your relationships, all of it. This is what it looks like. But it starts with the reality that Jesus is Lord and Savior. By the way, I know that there's some in this room, some at Bluffton Community, you're discerning whether, like, figuring out, like, is this real? Is this true? What does this mean to walk with God? Here's what I want to tell everybody in the room is this. No matter what you think about Jesus, he's still Lord and he's still Savior. He doesn't need me to affirm that for him to be Lord over all of creation. He doesn't need me to affirm that he's Savior in order for him to be Savior. What happens is when I say yes to him, I'm placing myself under his forgiveness, under his salvation, under his work for my life, and I'm inviting him to lead me. But he's Lord and Savior whether I acknowledge it or not. It's just true. And what I love about what's happening at Lighthouse and what is happening at Bluffton Community is we have so many people who desire to step into this saying yes to Jesus lifestyle. It's normal for you, right? Here, just give you an example. A few weeks ago, I was able to gather with a group of guys who they're just trying to discern, like, what does God have for me to do? And so we're just meeting together every now and again, and the whole goal is to read the scriptures and to pray and to place ourselves in a position to listen to God and then be obedient to what he's asking us to do. Like, I sat around a table with 9 men that's their desire and that's the goal of their life right now. Wow, that's amazing. There's like middle school students who are in high school students. They're like spending time praying together and praying for one another. And they're asking for the Lord to move in remarkable ways in their friends and in their classes. And they don't care who knows about it. That's saying yes to Jesus. There are children who are learning how to share the gospel with their friends in really simple ways, and they're going out and they're doing it. That's saying yes to Jesus. It's just Thursday, I got to sit around a table with four or five business leaders and owners. And I wanted to get these people together and be like, hey, let's read scripture, let's pray, let's whatever. I had no idea what was going to happen in that moment. What I found so amazing is one of the first questions that were right out of the gate was somebody asked, I said, hey, why are you here? Why did you decide to come? And they said, I'm very interested on how do you share the gospel of Jesus naturally with your customers and your clients? And everyone else around the table is like, yeah, I want to know that too. Guys, we have business owners in our county that this is how they live. This is how they earn income. And the first question around the table is, how do you share the gospel naturally with the people that I get to serve? This is what it looks like for Jesus to be Lord and to be Savior. And so all I'm inviting you to do is to consider is to say yes. To say yes to him. Because, and here's why. Because it's not only for us. Because in our region alone, where Lighthouse and Bluffton are able to touch, you have to understand this. I know this is like a massive number, and it's overwhelming, and it's hard to wrap your mind around it. But there are over 100,000 people who live in our region, right? Just the county, Hancock County, and the areas that it touches, who are spiritually dead. They're spiritually dead. And they don't have a Lord. And they don't have a Savior. And out of that 100,000, you work with them. They're in your family. They live in your neighborhood. Some of them live in your house. This is not a nameless group that's out there who nobody knows and nobody cares about. These are people we know. These are people that we love. And here's what's so cool. Next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, Easter. And it's like one of the most open opportunities in all of the year when if you ask somebody, hey, where are you going to church? Would you come with me? Most people will say, okay. In fact, most of them, they're just simply waiting for an invite. If you invite them, they'll come. If you don't invite them, they actually won't come because they're just waiting, right? They're waiting for the invite. And so here's what I want to invite you to do. On the back of your connection card, do me a favor. I'd like everybody at all of our locations, grab that, pull that out, take a look at it, flip it over on the back. And on the back, there's this next step that says, I'm praying for these people that I'm inviting to church with me next Sunday. And here's what I would invite you to do. I'm asking you to write down the first names of people that you want to invite to join you next Sunday at Lighthouse Community or at Bluffton Community. Because here's what I want to do. I want to bring all of these names together, and I want to be able to take time to pray with you for these names. I want our staff and our leadership to be able to pray with you about the people who you care about. We want you to know that not only are you taking a step of courage by inviting somebody, but you have your church family who's walking with you, who's praying with you for courage and for boldness and for strength to have those conversations. And so if you would, before the morning ends, write down the first names of people you're planning to invite with you next Sunday at Lighthouse Community. Because here's the reality. Sunday, next Sunday, literally 7 days away, could be the day that the person you love sees that Jesus really is Lord and Savior and could change their entire lives. Because you know Jesus has changed your life. You know the hope. You know the joy. You know the purpose. You know what it is to have a reconciled relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And what an opportunity to invite people into that with you. Because Jesus is Lord and Jesus is Savior. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. And I want you to ask Jesus this question. What are you saying to me right now through this message? And then I just want you to listen to him for a moment. Lord and Savior, my guess is that there are people right here, right now, who their minds are filled with the faces and the names of people that they love. And I pray that you would make it really clear to us that you actually love those people more than we love those people. That we will never love another person to the depth or the extent or the width or the height to which you love us. And my prayer is that we would not go and invite people to join us next Sunday out of fear of the Lord, because we're afraid we're going to let you down, or we're scared of what the ramifications might be if we don't. But I also pray we wouldn't go, well, I'm good and other people will find their way. But my prayer would be we would go in the hope and the joy of the Lord and Savior, knowing that that which you have given us, you freely offer to everyone else who will put their faith in you. And so perhaps just a simple invite could transform. I know that's what it was for me. Lord, you transformed my life through a simple invite through my friend Andy. Thank you for that. And so we pray for our church families, that we would think about the power of an invite. We would think about the power of the Lord and Savior going ahead of us. And I pray for anybody in this room who's going, man, I need to put my faith in Jesus, the Lord and the Savior. I need all of him, not part of him. I need all of him. That today would be a day that they would cross over into that. Thank you for speaking to us so clearly. Thank you for being with us today. You are so kind and so good and so generous to us. We praise you for that. We ask that you'll allow us to linger in your presence just a little bit longer. So what's going to happen is the band's going to come up and they're going to lead us in just one more song. And what's going to happen is we're going to have prayer leaders who are going to head to the four corners of the room. And I see many of them are actually heading there already. So thank you, prayer leaders. Really appreciate that. And what's going to happen is this. At any point during this song, that you can step out of your seat, come to the aisle, go to one of the corners, and there will be somebody there to pray for you about anything, anything at all. And I know that sometimes for some of us, there's like this embarrassment or this shame or this fear of going to a corner to pray. Please don't worry about that. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Every one of us needs prayer. This is a great gift, a way that we're able to serve one another here in the family. And so here's what I want to do. If you're in the house with us today, I'm going to ask you to stand as we transition into worship. And this is a moment. I understand this is, we're just asking nobody to leave during this time. I get it if you have an emergency. That's understandable. But just kind of hang in this moment. Be with God. Worship Him. Maybe He's going to call you to pray. Maybe He's going to lead you to pray for the person next to you as well. But I want to pray for you, and then I want to invite you to do the same thing. Holy Spirit, I pray this every weekend, but I can't think of something different or better to pray. I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.